All lines are now bridged.
Great, thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force. My name is Mike Berry. I'm with ONC, and we really appreciate your time and participation and input today. Let's get started with our meeting, and I'm going to start with roll call. So when I call your name, if you could please indicate your presence, and I'll start with our co-chairs, Arian Malik.
Howdy.
David McCauley.
Present.
Ricky Bloomfield.
I'm here.
Cynthia Fisher. Valerie Gray.
Present.
Jim Georges. Edward June.
I'm here.
Ken Kawamoto. Victor Lee.
Present.
Les Leonard. Glenn McDonald. Jack Poe. Raj Watwani. Ram Sharam.
Present.
Great. Sasha Termot. Andy Truscott.
Present.
And Scott Weingarten. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. If I missed your name, I will keep watch of the incoming sign-ins, and I will take note for our roster. And I'd like to thank all of you, and I'll turn it over to Arian and David.
Good morning and or afternoon, depending on the time zone that you're occupying at this moment. And first of all, I just want to thank David. I've had a week where I've not been feeling especially well, and David took the heavy lifting for this week. So if we show off as ill prepared, it's on me, and if we show off as well prepared, it's on David. But I think we're going to walk through. Again, just a re-review of the concepts we've been talking about. We put together a lightweight prioritization framework. We'll have a discussion on some of the attributes of that prioritization, and then that should lead into viewing the projects in something approximating priority order. As anybody who's been through prioritization via, you know, purely objective metrics, Delphi submitted metrics, knows. The real art is how you weight the outputs to get the outcome that you're looking for. But we'll mostly look at the sorting to see whether there's a violent disagreement about the sorting, or whether there's some things that are surprisingly low rated or surprisingly high rated, to see whether our prioritization tuning is appropriate. We are going to assign some homework at the end, as soon as we figure out what that homework actually is. I think that'll provide a pretty good agenda for the meeting. David, anything you want to tack on?
No, I think that covers it. I hope the process of capturing the work group members' notions about what is a priority for them will help us as a group come to some consensus on how we should prioritize our time and the expert testimony that we'll solicit to help us go deeper in some of those priority items. But I think it should be seen as Arian put it, as fluid. And if we get into something and discover that we should be driving in a different direction, as long as we have time to do it, we should feel free to do so. We're not under a rigid requirement to produce X number of items, and things that we don't talk about or things that we don't go into in depth don't have to be left off of our list of recommendations. So let's try to be learn from what each of us is interested in and feel strongly about, and then come up with a way to prioritize our energy and our limited time.
Yep.
So next slide. I think everybody knows who everybody is. I think we have a couple of people on the call this week that weren't on the call last week. So if you are confused by a term we're throwing around or one of the categories, and you just don't know what the heck we're talking about, feel free to speak up and we can clarify that. And I'll do a quick review of them here in a second. Next slide. We won't review our mandate. I think we all understand what ONC expects of us, at least broadly. Next slide. So here is the current list of the high-level items. We've conveniently resorted them from the last time you saw those through some sorting mechanism that I don't know what it was, so let's just call a random resort to make sure we don't get seduced into thinking that everything at the bottom is unimportant and everything at the top is important. So just brief one or two sentences on each of these just to catch you back up. The number one on our list here in row order, not rank, is clinical and administrative data standards harmonization and burden reduction. The thought there is, can we address or speed up or put some pressure behind some of the reconciliation between clinical systems and administrative systems, such as claims processing? Number next on our list, data sharing between federal and commercial healthcare entities. This has been in our discussion so far mostly a security issue regarding mismatch between security policies on either side of the federal firewalls. This item came to us from a well-placed important source, and so at least some people outside of our committee also think it's an important issue to be addressed. Next one on the list is vaccination and immunization registry reporting, and more maybe broadly speaking, the data flows around maintenance and access to vaccine and immunization registries. Next is health equity standards, social determinants of health, ethnicity, race, gender, and related issues, including access to health care systems, access to health information systems. Next on the list is real-world evidence, comparative effectiveness, recovery-type data use, which I generalize into being broadly being take better leverage of data that is in EHRs, in particular to the degree that that might leverage some of the new data blocking APIs like bulk fire access. Next is one of several public health related priorities. This one is on situational awareness, which involves the required reporting of healthcare facilities to their state and to the national public health networks regarding their status to deal with something like an epidemic, a pandemic, including things like bed availability, ventilator status, et cetera. Next is another public health related item on syndromic surveillance. There's a certain amount of syndromic surveillance that works today, but it's been suggested that perhaps we can do better. That's basically trying to detect the emergence of a public health issue, a public health emergency. Next on the list is a carryover from 2019 instantiation of our group called Care Plans and Chronic Disease Burden, the Burden of Chronic Disease Management. Next is adverse event reporting, could be mostly around adverse drug event reporting, but not necessarily limited to drug adverse events. Next on the list is easier and more robust coupling between patients and devices associated with the patient. I think there's possible relevance in that one to things like virtual clinical trials where a device is being used to monitor a patient's progress outside of a formal trial setting. Next is another public health related issue, which is we've summarized as contact and exposure notification. That should probably be contact tracing and exposure notification. The idea here is what value should we place and prioritize on things like devices that can detect when you've been in proximity to someone who has a positive test, and is that useful to put some of our standards priority ointment on. And then at the last is one we've carried forward, even though we don't intend to address it any further, which is so-called vaccine passport or vaccine credential proofing. And the reason that we've been asked not to put any more of our time onto it is that ONC has already prioritized this and has active work underway that they felt our input would be redundant. So you'll see that on this list, but I think it'll disappear from our lists subsequent to this one. Arian, did I leave anything out or misrepresent any of those from your point of view? And then we'll ask the group if they have any broad comments.
I think we're good. Anybody Anybody surprised by this list or surprised by what's not on this list? Seeing no hands up, why don't we go on to the prioritization section? All right. So let's see, we put together a prioritization framework. So if we go on to the next slide. Generally looking for A, that we are doing prioritization, because even though, you know, I think we're more than happy to pass on recommendations for a bunch of areas, we know that we can go more deeply into fewer areas, particularly given the time that we have allotted to us. And our general prioritization framework was prioritizing areas that align with ONC declared or national priority areas, particularly related to the COVID-19 and future pandemic preparedness, health equity, 21st century cures enablement, and unmet needs on the existing ONC roadmap. We want to avoid areas being covered through the existing ONC initiatives, and as far as we know, vaccine credentials is the only item that that we're just striking off the list on that criteria. And then set a criteria related to the generality versus specificity of solutions, and general criteria related to the salience of policy levers, and criteria related to the expressed need in the market, with a preference for jobs that are being done inefficiently currently over jobs that just currently aren't getting done. And again, there's a trade-off there. Sometimes the job isn't getting done because we don't have the standard that enables the job to get done efficiently. So we need to balance that criteria. All right. With that is our framework. We're going to I'll pause and see if there's any feedback on the framework. Not hearing any. We have a set of slides where we took the incredibly complex spreadsheet that I put together that in the middle of feeling very odd, that David actually took a look at and immediately improved by simplifying. So if we go on to the next slide, we've got a view of these are recommendation frameworks. We're going to end up using the previous spreadsheet that we created for orders and results and for some of the other items that we did in the ISC task force, because it was a really well-organized spreadsheet to help us frame up recommendations. But we're going to go on to the prioritization section right now. So let's go on to the next slide. Okie doke. So we're going to do four levers and score each one high, medium, and low. So again, the simplicity of this is all thanks to David. Number one is this priority area, high, medium, or low? Number two is what's the potential impact, foundational, general, or specific? So the difference between foundational and general is that a foundational standard unlocks a lot of other uses, data uses or interoperability uses. As an example, if you figure out identity and security for data exchange, it's pretty foundational because you can do a whole lot with it, whereas just a whole lot of things you can't do if you don't have identity and access management figured out. General is we've got a solution that you can plug into a whole bunch of different use cases. And then specifics, as we solve a particular problem by addressing this. And again, you know, we can trade that off against priority. Applicable policy levers, you know, so here, do we have well-defined policy levers? Do we have some policy levers, but policies unclear? Or do we need new policies, new regulations, new legislation, new state action in order to get the policy across the door? And then current burden, so high would be there are jobs that are already getting done, but getting done incredibly inefficiently and are driving clinical or clinician burden, administrative burden, high U.S. Healthcare costs. And low is either the job isn't getting done or, you know, it's getting done by hook or by crook, but not in ways that drive significant burden both for patients, providers, and other actors. All right. I'll pause there. Oh, and by the way, we've adopted an order of magnitude prioritization so that we overweight high relative to medium, relative to low. So just a useful way of generating separation when we think about the priority scoring areas. And our first hack would be not to weight each of these columns, so we are equally weight each of the columns. If we see surprises and, you know, a magic weighting makes things less surprising, I think we're more than happy to put in some weightings that we can defend. But as I noted, when you do these exercises, the simpler it is, the better, and you can do a lot of damage and harm by getting super sophisticated with weighting. So I'll just pause there, see if the prioritization framework makes sense. And again, super thanks to David for taking order of magnitude simplicity on the original framework that I put together.
And this
Jack has his hand up. And then Clem, I think I heard you wanted to get in as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually, this might be tangential to, I think, some of the things you've mentioned, but I wanted to at least bring it up. It's like a meta priorities thing. I'm curious, is there a way to almost build like a website that lists these standards as well as some sample ways of using them? Like, you know, Change Healthcare, of course, does that with their APIs, you know, Microsoft does and Google Cloud. Everybody typically does it. Because the reason why I mentioned that is one of the things I find very educational about, because frankly, I'm learning about it that I didn't even know about, and I can't imagine most people would know if even I haven't heard of some of them. Like some way to even just list, like, for these types of areas, these types of APIs currently exist, these types of standards currently exist. Like, it's like a very meta thing, but I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a great point. So probably in the David, maybe the way I'm thinking about it, so let me repeat what I heard Jack say, which is it would be useful for each of these areas just to do a survey of what's available, both from a standards perspective and also from an existing API perspective, to see how the ecosystem needs are currently getting met. And then
just flat out, like, if the ONC is willing to maintain a site like that, right? Like, where, because frankly, most people are Googling and are like, oh, is there a standard? And right now, I just tried it. And typically, you get like a, you know, the first page are all random startup vendors who have their own. Yeah. Like, it just does not occur to you that there will be standards of this type.
So I want to do a plug for the ONC internet, the, Dave, remind me,
ISP.
The ISP. It's the same name as our task force, which is what was throwing me. So there is an internet, there is a standards list that ONC maintains. It's really, really well done. It's organized by area. It lists all of the standards. And then there used to be, and Mike, I don't remember if there's, or Wanda, I don't remember if there still is, there was the OPP, which I forget what OPP stood for. I only have a particular tweet that Steve Bosnack did once on it. But there used to be a list of people who implemented those standards. But I would go we'll put a link in the notes. But we'll put a link to the ONC, existing ONC standards listing, which I think, as I said, really, really well done. Clem, you had Jack, great point, and we'll do a survey, and we'll make sure you've got.
I don't know under the first bullet, you got high, medium, low, is it a priority area? And then you have four other choices. I don't understand how they interact.
So yeah. So this is part of, Clem, this is part of the David Lumper versus Arian Splitter, even though I'm normally a lumper, framework of, you know, we went down a path of I could independently prioritize COVID-19 health equity, 21st century cures, ONC roadmap as high, medium, and low. And then you have the question of, well, what's the overall rating? And so we decided just to collapse it all and give it an overall rating if we need to get a little more fine-grained. But the thought is we would test it against Does this address COVID-19, health equity, 21st century cures, and other items on the ONC roadmap? And based on that assessment, declare it from a priority perspective, high, medium, or low. So jump over the shenanigans of prioritizing individual columns and then figuring out how to lump them together and just get to an overall priority level. Does that make sense?
I don't know what the it is in that first question. Is it one of those four or all of the four?
Yeah, so you would typically rate something high if it was really, really important for one of these priority areas, or it was important for multiple priority areas. But, again, we're going to leave it to the task force to figure out what high, medium, and low means relative to this. As I said, the alternative is get really detailed at each of the columns, and then you have the same problem of, okay, how do I combine them all?
Okay, I got it.
Cool. Thank you.
Clem, we thought about just having everybody log into a web page and vote for what their favorite topics were, but that doesn't give us any insight into who cares about what and why they care about it. So this process, I hope, will illuminate, why is this important to you when you speak up about it and argue for a particular prioritization. We still might end up voting if we don't feel like we've identified a clear set of leaders, but at least we'll know who's behind it and why.
Yeah, I didn't have any confusion about the last three. The first one, it seemed like it had two choices. I'm still not crystal clear what it is, but I think I'll figure it out as we go along.
Yeah.
What this.
Yeah, probably poorly worded on our part. Sorry. And also, Jack, to your question, I put a link in the chat on to the ISA webpage, which is ONC's current attempt at defining what standards are out there and categorizing them in half a dozen different ways based on widespread use or not, whether they're free or not. And the good thing about it is that list has links to the standards themselves. So if there's something that strikes your curiosity or strikes your interest, you can follow through to the standard itself. I think that if you browse that website and find it wanting or missing something, ONC would be happy to hear us weigh in on that as well, because some of us were on the committee that helped design that website, I don't know, 10 years ago. It's been a while now. Clem, you were on it, I remember. So I'm sure that process is still open for improvement.
It has gotten so much better, though, I have to say. I mean, it was good work when it started, but we made a lot of recommendations, and it has gotten really useful. What it doesn't do, I think to Jack's point, is it doesn't list all of the APIs or all of the alternative ways of getting the job done, other than standards-based ways of getting the job done. So you can at least survey what's out there. But it's a really useful survey for looking at vocabulary standards, vocabulary subsets, transport standards, content standards, structural standards, et cetera. Let's go into the exercise, and then we'll either decide halfway through the exercise that we got to change course and do it a slightly different way because everyone's confused, or we'll figure out what we mean by going through the exercise. So we're going to start with, next slide. Clinical admin data and standards relative to priorities. So David's already helpfully filled in that health equity is high with respect to health equity. I don't know how we're going to get through everybody. I wonder if we just do a Delphi rating approach here and ask people for, do a discussion of, I can propose out some thought processes or some framings that people can disagree with or agree with. And then we do a Delphi rating where we have people vote in the chat as to high, medium, or low. I wonder if that works for people, if people can access the chat.
Yeah, but what's, I don't remember what 21CC is.
21st Century Cures. So that's 21st Century Cures Enablement.
Okay.
And well, this page is less about opinions and more about, I won't call them facts, but It seems pretty clear, for example, that working on situational awareness is relevant to the COVID-19
yep.
pandemic crisis. And what we were hoping to do here, maybe we should have filled this in for discussion. Maybe that would have made it a little faster. But we just wanted to say, of the topics that we have, our 11-ish topics, are there some that are clearly well aligned with ONC's priority items?
And if so, maybe
that biases upward.
That's right. So if we look, for example, the first item, clinical administrative data and standards, you'd have a hard time making a case for COVID-19, a little bit. Hard time making a case for health equity, again, at the margin. 21st century cures is part of the burden reduction. And ONC roadmap is a continuation of the work that ONC was engaged in under Don Rucker. So you'd probably highlight both of those columns in terms of clinical and administrative data and standards. For federal and commercial... go ahead.
I'm wondering if we can get editing access to this. Is that possible, or could we... I mean, it'd be nice to take notes as we go through it. I don't know if that's possible. Maybe someone from the ONC team could put a mark in the...
I think it's going to be logistically difficult, given I think that it's Excel doing the data, the screen sharing. I wonder if what we could do, David, mm-hmm. instead is have you or somebody from the ONC team maintain notes, and then we swap out a different version of the slide once we've completed the exercise.
Yeah, we could do that. I've got a copy of the slide that that I can live edit. You won't be able to see it until we
swap it out. That's right.
Yeah.
We'll just do discussion.
So on row one, then, just to make sure I captured, I'm not going to fill in the non-applicables. We'll say for clinical administrative data, 21st century cures, are you giving that like an M?
An M. M for 21st century cures and an M for or an H for ONC roadmap.
H for roadmap. Okay, go on. I'll take notes and
feel free. We'll pause at the end. But if people violently disagree or unviolently disagree, that's good too. Please chime in, raise your hand. We'll get you into discussion. I want to drive this efficiently, but not in an authoritarian way. So I'm just recognize I'm doing this for sake of putting something on the board, not for sake of biasing the outcomes. Federal commercial data sharing, again, I think you'd say COVID-19, health equity, 21st century cures, yes, relative to TEFCA and the national strategy for data sharing, and yes, relative to own roadmap. And so whether yes translates to medium or high, I guess I put high 21st century cures and medium for ONC roadmap, or the reverse, or high for both.
Could you just clarify what data sharing is? This clinical data, health data? What's the outcome?
Yeah. So, Clem, for background, the particular challenge here is that federal partners, so particularly IHS, VHA, DOD, but there's prison services. So DOJ, et cetera, they're all beholden to FISMA, to the NIST risk framework, and to FedRAMP. And so they've got a set of – the federal actors have a set of federal data sharing requirements that they're obligated to engage in as federal providers. And you almost 100% of the time when you're talking about data sharing between a federal actor and a non-federal actor have the problem of, do you adopt a commercial standard or do you adopt the federal standard? And federal actors, when they separately negotiate agreements with a commercial provider, can often get that addressed through contractual requirements. But when we're talking about a data sharing framework, we have not solved the what's the common level, what's the security boundary for federal actors relative to commercial boundaries. So as an example, do you require that any care quality implementer must be a FedRAMP authorized, must have a FedRAMP ATO in order for VA and DOD to engage in data sharing via national networks? That would be one extreme that would basically hold everybody to federal standards. The other way you could cut it is you could say, hey, federal government, your boundary extends up to the point where you're exchanging data with commercial parties, and at that point we go to a HIPAA and commercial standard relative to information security and other controls. Does that make sense?
In general, the federals are tougher and really are, can be severely limiting, right? I mean,
correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yep. And this, some of us have been there and done that and have all the scars. All right, let's go to vaccination data flows. So this one in particular would be the ability to get vaccination lot information. So this is not vaccine tracking, logistical tracking. This is vaccination data flows. So particularly the set of standards that are associated with IISs. But in general, the flows by which vaccinations flow to either the state or CDC, including lot information, other clinical information, and the flows that allow for actors to query the current immunization status of a patient, and I think as Les was saying before, potentially a panel of patients, so you could line up who do I actually need to do outreach for. And so pretty clearly that would be a high COVID-19, maybe medium health equity, in the sense that...
Well, there's a lot of health equity issues with vaccines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, a medium health equity, lower NA 21st century cures and low ONC roadmap, pre-existing COVID-19 ONC roadmap. Health equity... again, health equity is high relative to health equity. It is probably medium with respect to COVID-19, and given that health equity issues are significant relative to COVID-19. And then, again, this is a separate column relative to ONC priority for health equity. So we could talk about 21st century cures or ONC roadmap, but it sort of gets a high at least at the health equity level. EHR data uses, so this would be flat fire, bulk fire, real-world evidence, or the recovery, UK recovery-type trials in the U.S. Clearly, medium or high relative to COVID-19, medium with respect to health equity in the sense that at least part of the things that you can do when you have population data sets is look at health disparity and outcome disparity. It was already an item for 21st century cures in the ONC roadmap. So it's at least medium or high across the board. I see Andy and Ed are on the, or have their hands raised. Andy, go ahead. Andy, that's the mute button. All right, we'll go to Ed, and then we'll go back to Andy when he figures out his mute situation.
Yeah, thanks so much, Aaron. Just a quick question of clarity. When you're looking at the ONC priority area from the column, are we talking about social determinants of health when we think about the health equity in the first column, or are we thinking about it distinct from the social determinants of health data sets that are available, just for mm-hmm. clarity purposes?
Yeah, no, thank you for that. So I think we intend, when we put the slide up that had all the details, last round, I think we intend both to look at the coverage area, for example, for the Da Vinci Gravity project, which is around social determinants of health in particular, but also the data flows by which data and analytics could be used to look for disparity of outcomes. So, for example, routine collection of appropriate demographic information on race, ethnicity, to look for disproportionate impacts relative to, for example, COVID-19 or vaccination rates. So
okay, great. So it would be inclusive of race, ethnicity, and language.
Correct.
Sort of the way that you're defining
yes.
that. Okay.
Exactly.
Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. Okay. Public health situational awareness. Go ahead. Andy, were you back on?
Yeah. Looks like his hand went down.
Okay.
Oh, he's still trying to log in.
Okay. Andy, when you get back in, we'll figure it out, okay? Just pipe up. Okay. Public health situational awareness. So this is a proxy for the SANA project, which is in many ways the ability to do summary metrics that are calculated at a setting of care and then aggregate those summary metrics out. So the original use case for SANA was looking at bed fill rates, ventilator fill rates or availability rates, and the variety of metrics that hospitals were required to report out to the federal government relative to COVID readiness tracking. And I think you'd say it is high relative to COVID, low relative to health equity rather than NA, in the sense that you could then subsegment relative to healthy population areas or other sort of disproportionate share metrics. And then probably low for 21st, or not NA for 21st century cures and ONC roadmap. Syndromic surveillance. This is outbound data feeds relating to ADT for ED, relating to lab feeds for reportable labs, reportable condition feeds, and then things like ECR. The acronym took a little while to come to me. So ECR is a CDC standard for pulling case report information electronically on a trigger basis out of EHRs, and there's a FHIR decision support hooks flavor of it called ECR Now. Some of these things are actually in meaningful use or... Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
Sorry, the Owens. Oh, you can hear me now. Well, hey.
We got you now.
I was sitting there listening to whole music about something completely different. Carry on, please.
Okay. We'll come back to you, Andy, because you had your hand up, and we'll get your comment. So syndromic surveillance would be the existing things that already have standards and certification criteria associated with them, but also some of the areas that CDC was promoting, for example, ADT feeds and EDs. And ECR Now that don't have standard certification requirements in them. And again, I think you'd say high for COVID-19, maybe low for health equity and NA for the other two categories. Andy, come back to you.
Yeah, minor point. I just wanted to check on the vaccination data flows. You do mean from providers and administrators of vaccines to IISs, as well as from IISs to state and or CDC.
Correct. And from IASs or equivalent back to providers or points of vaccination.
Okay, cool. That's good. I think we need to be holistic.
Yeah, right. But not the big thing this would exclude is drug supply chain tracking.
Yes, right. I agree. And I think you said this was not on the ONC roadmap previously.
Cool. It's been a low-lying ONC CDC set of activities. So maybe it's a low relative to ONC roadmap in the sense that ONC and CDC have been working on areas. There are standards, but as we know, most of the art here is not actually in the standards work. It's in the IAS arena
yep.
and the provider arena.
I agree. And there is a renewed sense of urgency.
Yep, indeed.
Yes.
Care plans and chronic disease management. So again, here, this is the ability to share a plan of care, prioritize that plan of care, engage in a plan of care with a multidisciplinary set of actors, the care team, and the individual patient. This has been a long-running activity and was one of the items that was the fourth priority out of the ISP task force previously and punted back picked up here in this group. low COVID-19. I mean, you can imagine care planning for COVID-19. That's pretty low down in Maslow's, or pretty high up in Maslow's hierarchy of needs relative to where we've been at relative to COVID-19. Medium for health equity, and then, you know, probably one on the ONC roadmap, so low on the ONC roadmap.
Arian, what did you say on, what was your score on the COVID-19 intersection with care plans?
I'd say NA in the sense that it's general, but it's not particularly specific and relevant for COVID-19. Wouldn't change the trajectory of the pandemic if we had a national care plan standard.
Yep.
Well, the other thing I worry about care plans is the extra work burden to put it in a structured fund.
Yeah, right. And Clem, I think we're going to pick that up when we look at the burden. It's going to be hard to make a burden reduction case for care planning. You could, but it's going to be harder to make a burden reduction argument there. Because, as you say, it's likely to be increased burden to capture it in a structured way.
Probably depends on whose burden you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Do we optimize for the patient in the U.S. healthcare system? That would be silly. adverse events. So, again, this would be the ability to use clinical terminology as opposed to FDA clinical trials terminology to capture and report adverse events into the post-market surveillance systems that FDA manages. So some relevance for COVID-19, medium maybe, medium or high relative to vaccine AE tracking. Maybe high, because it's been a relatively hot topic of, for example, clotting disorders or anaphylaxis related to vaccination. Probably NA relative to health equity, NA relative to 21st century cures. And again, this has been one of those items that's sort of been kicking around as an ONC FDA collaboration item for years. Probably a low there. Clem?
Yeah, the same thing. This is a funny space in a way. Firstly, the ability to translate isn't important for the recording because they usually come down as name lists. So we want to, you know, keep that separate, whether we have a common approach or we just want to capture it. But it could be a real burden. And some adverse events, you know, are so, they don't need to, they know that already. You know, I mean, they're just so common. It's not any discovery process. So some sorting down or characterization, what really they need to hear from, because they're going to be asking physicians to do this during the practice plan, which might be easier than it is now and more likely to be done. But I still think we need to dissect the need and the when. When it's important. You know,
yep.
Someone, you know, tells me that for the 1900th time that aspirin makes your stomach get irritated, that's not very useful.
Right, and this may actually fall more naturally into the real-world evidence piece of this. So, you know, there is a MedWatch form that I can go for. I forget what FDA calls it these days. There is an online form that I can go fill out if I really want to report an SAE. I think FDA would tell us that SAEs are underreported relative to their frequency because there's a significant burden for reporting SAEs. And then the question, maybe a way of framing the question is, would it be better to have a single click button to, say, report this SAE, which would go into a signal detection system at FDA, and, you know, they'd filter out the opioids cause constipation adverse events, but could do signal detection? Or would it be better to put this in the real-world evidence category and build mechanisms to do signal detection out of drug exposure and problem lists that we get out of the EHR.
I would like that better. It does put extra effort on.
Okay. Thanks, Clem.
I think you need to deal with causality at some point.
I mean, that's where signal detection gets into this. Is, you know, is there a signal, and then when there's a signal, you need to do additional work to see whether it's. Sorry, this is. This is an area I used to be in the clinical trials world, did pharmacovigilance technology systems for a while.
That's one level of it. The other side is, you know, when you report an adverse event, you do need to distinguish between a pharmacological effect and which causes an adverse event versus an unanticipated adverse event.
Sure.
And since we almost never do rechallenge the causality analysis for the symptom and the drug is usually uncertain.
That's exactly right. And yeah, we typically default. Yeah, we typically default in the clinical trial setting to report everything, and then do some work with the DSMBs to disambiguate whether we believe it's a linked adverse event or not. But in a signal detection setting, it's useful sometimes just to get a, hey, is there a signal here? And then you got to do the work to establish causality or not. All right. Patient device linking. So we talked about this both in terms of using mobile devices as proxies for patient identity and also for better linking implanted or wearable medical devices to the patient. And then this also encompasses things like UDI that's been a standard forever, but is almost entirely unused. And, you know, again, if we think, sorry, I don't know if we completed the AE row, but. Probably high for COVID. And, oh, that's right. High for COVID and low for ONC roadmap and NA for the rest. Patient device linking, you know, it's been on the ONC roadmap. Standards Committee made recommendations relative to UDI back in the day. Probably not that relevant for COVID-19. Probably not that relevant for health equity. I don't think it's a 21st century cures item. And so I think it would just be maybe a lower medium on the ONC roadmap.
My memory of cures is dated, or is fading, but wasn't there a device implant, real world evidence tracking requirement in cures? Maybe I'm misremembering that.
Yeah, maybe Wanda or Mike, I don't know if you can help us with that one.
I'll put it as a question and we can look into it.
Cool. Thank you. And then contact exposure tracking. So the major smartphone systems vendors put in place a contact tracing APIs that they embedded into their devices, into the OS for their devices. They've been enabled for a number of regions with the in conjunction with public health departments. I have zero data in the U.S. as to whether any of that has been at all useful or impactful. And I think there's evidence in other regions that more comprehensive device-based electronic contact tracing has been useful. And if you really wanted to do this, you'd need to be able to interoperate reportable labs, reportable conditions, hospitalizations with the device so that you could actually generate the triggers for exposure. Any comments here, and particularly Ricky or Jack, I don't know if you've got any comments you'd want to add.
Would you rate it, Arian, as a medium or a high for COVID? I would
rate it as a medium at best.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
Why would say that it was invented for COVID?
Contact tracing. So if we're talking about true contact tracing, then I think we should put it as a high. If we're talking about device-based contact tracing, this may just be my personal biases, and I'll shut up.
Yeah, I don't know. What I tell you, having built these, there is a need for standards, particularly, as you said, for the data integration with COVID testing results and with issuing of the keys to allow people to release that.
Sure. Okay. Let's put it high for COVID-19. I'll withdraw any of my grumpiness. And certainly contact tracing is a high for COVID-19. Hard to make a health equity case, 21st century cures case, or an ONC roadmap case.
Yeah, I don't think that they were applicable to any of those. Yeah, because.
Okay.
And one, just one nuance there. One of the reasons this was called exposure notification was because it's not actually doing contact tracing, which is a very different public health function. And so I don't know if we want to update the language here to reflect that it's
Well, we'll have to go back to tracing, but
that's right. We have to go back to the slide because I think we contemplated in this slide both digital exposure notification and improved data standards for contact tracing, most of which have to do with
Certainly could be two separate efforts there for sure.
Yep.
There's a wide variety of software platforms for contact tracing, and there's almost no standardization across them.
Right, and when we were doing work at the Duke Margolis Center, the big issues that we noted and that Sasha Tremont noted with respect to EHR data flows was that demographic and contact information, even when it was captured in EHRs, wasn't flowing upstream to commercial labs and then flowing into public health. And so, there at least is a data standards area there in terms of how that data flows. It might overlap, for example, with some of the health equity data sharing items that, again, significant SDOH linkages on race or ethnicity, principal language, location, et cetera. All right. So I think, Dave, we got through the rapid run. Are you in a position where we can talk about the composite score?
We could, but I think we'd be better to go and put our time into the next slide, which is probably more useful to us. And we may, I've got some question marks that we're going to have to trace down, and it'll probably change the composites. So I would say let's do that as an offline distribution of what it looks like after we've chased down the question marks.
Sounds good. And this can also be some of our the Delphi rating can be our homework.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't want to. I want to make sure we don't run out of time on the next slide, which I think is probably going to be more impactful for opinions.
Cool.
About what people think we should pursue.
All right, let's go. Okay. Here we're looking at impact, applicable policy levers, current burden. Ignore the composite score at this point, but. So impact scores would be, is this a foundational standard? Are these general purpose standards or something specific to a particular use case? So let's go down that category. I've got opinions, but I'm going to shut up and see if anybody wants to volunteer their opinions in terms of which of the areas here are more foundational relative to general purpose, maybe people can make the case that X item on this list, X row on this list is foundational and or general purpose. Hearing none.
Arian, I would let me just test your notion of foundational. Let's take health equity as a use case.
Yep.
Getting robust agreement on how to codify the various issues that roll up into this broad category of health equity seems pretty fundamental to me. So I would be tempted to call that one foundational.
I guess I would look at EHR data use as foundational in the sense that if you could get population-based exports of clinical data, there's a crazy number of things that you could do with that, whereas health equity standards would be more general purpose. In the sense you could see it applied health equity standards into a bunch of different workflows, but it unlocks analytics and analysis in a particular area of healthcare. Does that make sense?
Yep. No, I just want to double check on how you were thinking about it. So do we want to go by column and say of these categories, are there any that are foundational? And I think we'll flag the EHR data use. There's some broadly applicable tools there, as you said. Health equity as a general purpose. That's we're codifying that as medium, even though maybe I should use different letters here.
Clinical administrative data standards would be probably general or foundational. You can make the argument either way.
I'll go with medium.
Medium.
And federal commercial data sharing is a pretty specific problem that resolving those, the security mismatch, for example,
yep.
Do we want to go with that as a specific?
It's that's one that's on the border in the sense that it affects a lot of service members and veterans and, you know, members of tribal organizations. So it affects a significant subpopulation, but it's a, and it's a broad effect for a subpopulation, but it's definitely not general in the sense that it impacts all Americans. But it's an important group, a more important set of groups. So it's on the cusp of medium and over there.
Okay, I'll call it medium or general purpose.
Mm-hmm. And then
what?
Seems like everything else is low.
In the impact column.
Yep. Just trying to keep up with the comments. Okay. Got it. And I, as I said, I think what we're going to do here is assign some of this as a Delphi rating, so getting each person to individually assign, and then we'll look at the composite and see if there's any patterns. Valerie?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, could we just talk a little bit more about health equity and how it ranks? Because when I was listening about the federal commercial data sharing sort of discussion, and we were talking about sort of how many people it affects, to me, the health equity issues and social determinants of health affects, if that's the way we're thinking about things, a ton of people.
Yeah, so, no, I think we agree. And so health equity, what I think we were going down was federal commercial data sharing was on the low medium kind of boundary area, and health equity is on the medium high boundary area.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yep. All right. Boy, policy levers is going to be a fun one. Clinical administrative data standards is one where I think between ONC and CMS, HHS has all the levers. Whether they use them or not is a different question. Federal commercial data sharing, again, the federal government has all the decisions here. Vaccination data flows, you've got a mix of CDC and states and EHR. So CDC and ONC clearly hold a good number of the levers, but then states and localities hold some of the levers as well. So that feels more like stretch or new policies. Health equity, I think ONC holds all or most of the applicable levers. EHR data uses, I think ONC holds all or most of the applicable levers. Once that you can, ONC already has the policy framework to establish certification criteria incorporated into, and CMS has the ability to incorporate into programmatics. Situational awareness, syndromic surveillance, and contact and exposure tracking all feel like the same argument for vaccination data flows. You've got ONC, CDC, but then you also have states and localities.
So I would call those, let me just take a shot. Would you call those low because of the heavily federal, the federated approach where there isn't top-down lever control?
Yeah. So the dialogue in my head is that if there's a, and there could be tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but in the next few weeks, there could be a consensus on legislative action relative to this area that would establish policy frameworks that don't currently exist. But if you didn't have those, you'd basically be in the same trench fighting that you currently are of promulgating standards and having states not take them up. So I think low is appropriate.
Right. Yeah, it's a disadvantage of making a recommendation in one of those spaces because there's not a clear way to see it through.
That's right. Until something like that, you know, there's a HELP committee proposal from Senator Murray. There have been a number of proposals that would establish ongoing pools of money for public health preparedness, but then tie those pools of money to adoption standards, in which case suddenly a low turns into a high.
Yep.
What haven't we talked about? Adverse events?
Care plans, adverse events, and patient device linking.
Again, I think in these areas, ONC holds most of the levers, except for adverse events where ONC and FDA hold most of the levers. The only issue here is getting FDA to accept that something other than MedDRA could be used for adverse event reporting.
Yep. I'm going to call that a low, again, on the split control problem.
Yeah, I'd argue for a medium. Again, we'll get Delphi ratings, but I'd argue for a medium okay. In the sense that it's only a low if you believe that the FDA will never adopt anything that looks anything like the rest of the world.
I think Clem, go ahead. Is that Clem?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to get that change. And if there's any other process to make it easier, you know, like they, you know, they're pretty rigid on that stuff, and they're slow, and they have maybe they a lot of they get flack whatever they do, so they're really sensitive. Dave, are you thinking the same thing? Because you're kind of hemming.
Yeah, no, I agree that it's pretty easy to define how the world ought to be, but I don't know that there's any way to force the world into that.
That being said, part of the feedback we got on this task force was that if there are areas where it would be useful to give ONC a recommendation to, explain to FDA why what they're doing is actually not productive for the nation, that's actually useful.
You might be able to work this better by pushing on, you know, this surveillance. I'm looking at real old data.
That's
because
right.
There's a whole bunch of variables in MedDRA that are sodium high, sodium low, glucose high, glucose low. Those could be generated from looking at lab data.
Yep.
And it's more reliable, and they could actually put magnitudes on it. And maybe that would encourage them to get rid of some categories and just not do it that way.
Yep. Hey, on the other hand, I remember the great CoStart MedDRA swap over, and so let me just tell you, things could be worse. There was a time when you had WHOART, CoStart, and MedDRA all vying for stuff, and boy, that was fun.
Were any of you guys at the AMIA meeting when they first presented MedDRA?
I was deep in those weeds with WHOART, CoStart, and MedDRA way back when.
It was a real chuckle because they got up and they said, "But we can't tell you what it's in because it's a secret." People falling out of their chairs. What'll happen?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, let's go on to burden.
Still proprietary.
I think we got a bunch of the applicable policy levers done. Let's go to burden. And so again, key thing here is, does it drive large amounts of clinician burden, large amounts of patient burden, and is the job currently getting done in ways that that are driving high burden, or, you know, is the job just not getting done? So if the job is already getting done, it's getting done in ways that are problematic, and it's getting done in ways that drive high burden, then you would mark it a high. If the job's getting done and maybe not as elegantly as we'd want it to, but it's already getting done, or if the job isn't getting done, but, you know, no one's going out of their way to do something terrible, you'd mark it low and something in between. So clinical admin data standards. Yeah, go ahead.
But it's David looking for, just to clarify, because I think Clem was using burden in a slightly different way in our earlier conversation, and I realized that it's a word that we probably should have put a few more qualifiers on, but we're talking about burden is a high burden is a high problem that should be solved.
Yes.
Right?
No, high burden is high burden is either something that leads to significant health cost effects and isn't getting solved, or something that's already getting solved in ways that generate high burden for either patients or providers or for other actors, or
yeah,
is driving high, or currently driving high cost in the U.S. healthcare system.
I had understood. Thanks.
Good, Clem. Glad to see the clarification. I wish we'd been a little bit more precise, but
yeah.
It is what it is. Here we go.
That's why you get into these things. So clinical administrative data and standards, I don't think you could argue this is anything other than high burden. This is EPA, it's medical necessity, it's claims attachments, it's everything to do with benefit eligibility for complex care.
It didn't sound like that to me. I thought it was just the ability to get that stuff new about around the standard forms.
Yeah, so we can go over and review the clinical administrative standards task force output recommendations, but we particularly focused on EPA medical necessity attachments, but generally it was the notion that clinical data is increasingly required to adjudicate administrative transactions.
If you could get that phrase in there, I think it'd help us remember what we're
gotcha.
Talking about.
Sorry, yeah, shorthand from previous task force work.
Yeah.
I saw somebody's hand go up and go down. So, Andy, your hand was up or down or something? Maybe not. Okay. Federal commercial data sharing, medium burden. Vaccination data flows. I think we've heard high burden from the group.
And high impact.
Yep. Health equity. Let's just call it high burden in terms of the impact of populations. EHR data uses. I have to think about this. I love other people's perspectives. This feels like it's a job that's getting done through other means, through proprietary data extracts, through consortia coming together and hammering out data sharing agreements and data export agreements and yada, yada, yada. Is this an area where if only we had Flatfire, everything would be 10,000% easier? Or would this be an area where if only we had Flatfire, then the current work we're doing of defining columnar data exports and then working on that would be reduced, but we'd still have all the other data sharing yuck that we still have?
Aaron, my take would be to call it a meet.
Yep.
Go ahead. Go ahead, whoever that was.
This is Les. I do a lot of work with PCORnet and with CD2H and other networks for provisioning of data. I think that a lot of this is getting done. I'm not really sure, for large-scale data production resources, if Flatfire is the answer to that. And again, there's all these issues about what it means to centralize this data versus do it as a distributed query, which might be much more, might be much better to protect data, confidentiality and security, those types of things. So if you want to talk about standards for this, you probably need to think about that kind of approach. And again, that Flatfire is not an analytic model. Common analytic models, OMOP, PCORnet, ITB2.
Yep. I think we're exposing that we're going to need to get some public testimony in this area. Let's call it a medium.
Yeah.
Feels appropriate.
Yeah,
the hard bits of this work are data sharing, data use, figuring out the analytics model, and that actually the data extracts are just work. They're work that we could harmonize and make smoother, but they're just work. situational awareness. So for folks who are managing hospitals that are needing to report out to the federal actors, is this a medium burden or high burden or a low burden right now?
I heard high in some of our earlier discussions on this.
I guess my sense was that 6 months ago it was terrible, and now it's like, whatever, we know how to do it.
Do you want to call it medium?
Yeah, and again, we'll go through a homework round where we'll ask you to independently rate after the exercise.
Yep.
Syndromic surveillance. I'd say the current burden is low. It's just that you can't get done what you need to get done. Any objections? Care plans, again, I would argue for low. I'm sure other people would argue for high. This is one of those classic, it depends on whose burden you're talking about. If I'm talking about myself as a patient, my plan of care is notes that I get scribbled and assemble and keep in my head. Would be super useful for me as a patient to have an integrated plan of care that I could refer to. It was sitting on my device of choice. Again, Jack, Ricky, I don't know if you've got any comments here on the
we didn't, this is David, we didn't talk about the details on that one as much because it had gotten some discussion on the previous task force, but I would say that care coordination is still quite a burden, and it's
a burden for
patients,
right?
Coordinated.
That's right. It's one of the classic areas in healthcare where it's a pain in the butt for patients, and it's more than a pain in the butt. It's a life-threatening area for patients.
Yep.
And the reason it is, it's just a low burden for hospitals and for providers because they just don't do it, or they do the minimum necessary for joint commission requirements.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm giving a bunch of feedback in chat.
I'm looking at the chat, Jack.
Just because my phone isn't always working very well, but I think I would say that actually in the last year or two, increasingly everybody from CVS to Google to everybody's entering care coordination. So I think standards would be really great to get aligned right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I would. This is Ricky. I would echo that. I think, especially as we've seen in the last year, many more entities are having more of a virtual care environment, and trying to get ahead of that, and having concrete and standardized ways to improve the communication between physicians and patients can potentially have a big impact.
Yeah, and again, just thinking out loud, it would be so cool if the work that's currently getting done in terms of discharge plan requirements, et cetera, could just get published. Anyway, adverse event reporting, again, I think low current burden because nobody's really doing it.
Yep.
Okay. Patient device linking, low current burden because nobody's doing it.
Probably.
Yep.
Contact exposure tracing. Boy, traditional contact tracing is high burden, and digital contact tracing is low burden. I've turned on my contact tracing. I'm just not sure it actually does anything. Or my exposure notification, sorry.
I would argue for high in that it's a very manual process and not standardized well, therefore
right.
Traditional
contract, feet on the street, contact tracers, is a high burden activity, and you can tell it is because it's not getting done at the level that it needs to because it's just so expensive.
Key sharing is a pretty high burden.
This is where there's a scenario where.
Go.
Key sharing, that is to say, once you have a positive test, giving you a key to share your exposures to other people. or you know, share your device is associated
yep.
with the person who's infected. That's,
yep.
that's the key sharing part of that. That's pretty.
Well,
high.
That's all now built into current generation of OS. It's just how does the
no, it's not
the positive test. Yeah, how does the positive test get in and trigger the exposure notification part?
That's
but then
correct.
Also
the
traditional contact tracing of getting lab data over to contact tracers or ECR data over to contact tracers to actually work phones is a high manual activity with high burden. Okay.
Yeah, and that when that happens and you want to trigger an exposure notification based on that,
yep.
you need to reach out currently to the infected person and give them a digital key so that they can volunteer to upload their exposure.
Cool. That's awesome. That sounds like it works really well. Clem.
Yeah. That's one of the burdens is it's just there's too much delay and it's too hard for people to upload their to volunteer their status.
Yep. Clem.
Yeah, just a comment on that. This is Ricky.
Go ahead, Ricky.
This is one of the reasons why I think it may be helpful to divide this one into both contact tracing and exposure notification, because I think the burden in each one of those could be very different, as well as the other columns here might apply differently to in-person contact tracing versus exposure notification. I would echo the comment around exposure notification that from the end user perspective, the burden is low. From the public health authority perspective, most of the burden is around making sure that the user has their test confirmation and that somehow makes it to them. Once they have that test confirmation, there's nothing else that they need. They can just go ahead and submit their keys because that's all locally on device. But they need that test confirmation to avoid potential fraud so that anyone could submit their keys whether or not they're actually positive or not.
Okay. Clem, we're going to go to you, and then we're going to go to homework, and then we're going to go to public comment. Clem, that's the mute button for the audio issue stuff.
It's very complicated, but it wouldn't be so bad if if we did like a few other countries did. But it's just this. We just got so tangled. We build these things, and no one remembers to get them. No one will use them. They don't want anybody to know. It goes on and on like that. And the newer twist is that the 6-foot limit is probably goofy. So, this it's not just droplets. And you're in a restaurant, the whole place can get filled in the air. So we may not even have a good way to define the distance, maybe. Maybe you could measure the persistence in an area or something where the phone could tell you're inside a building. But I think there's a lot of issues. Very important. Very important, but I think we should try to get some technology on it somehow. But be aware that the distance by itself, that was not an accurate definition from what we know now.
Well, I'm gonna trust Apple and Google and some of the device manufacturers for figuring out if we have better algorithms for how long I've been loitering in a particular area and whether I'm indoors or outdoors to map.
Yeah.
It sounds like the big burden is getting positive information to the device to trigger any of the exposure notification. And I also agree with the sentiment that we should bucket traditional contact tracing and exposure notification as two separate items and not conflate them. All right, we're going to go to homework. What I'm going to ask the team to David, did you want to get in?
No, you do the homework, but I would like us to review our expert testimony slide just to get thoughts on whether we've missed somebody.
Okay.
Do your homework.
Given our history of getting public comment, we probably will have some time at the end. So homework, if we go up one slide, what I'd like people to do, not that one, sorry, up one slide, other up. So if we look at the priority area slide, please fill out the composite score as opposed to the subscores here, and we'll do a Delphi rating. So we'll just take all your scores and figure out the distribution and pick something that's relatively modal in the distribution. And then for the next slide, Just fill out the first three columns. Don't worry about the composite score. Substantial impact, applicable policy levers, and current burden. Fill out high, medium, and low. And again, we'll do the same thing. So we'll have four columns that we'll do. We'll look at the distribution of modality and use that as a framing for overall prioritization. And as I said, I think our inclination is to equally weight, unless when we do the rank sort, we decide that that it's just wonky and that some obvious weighting would help the wonkiness. David, back over
we'll
to you. Is that homework?
We'll get Ari and
we'll provide instructions.
Right. Yeah, we'll send the slides out and with a little bit of instructions, so it'll be hopefully real clear exactly what Arian said. Okay, then next slide. Shifting focus here for a couple of minutes before we have public comment. We've had some discussions with our ONC partners about getting additional input from subject matter experts in some of these domains. Some of this may or may not be as important based on our ranking, but let's just assume at the moment that we pursued all of these things. So here's our current list here's our current approach, and if you guys have strong feelings of something that should be added or taken away, let us know. If we don't have time on this call, you can certainly do it to us in email, and we'll share it on the next meeting. On the health equity topic, there's a major project underway called Project Gravity at HL7, and they've agreed to come and explain that work, which is quite relevant. That would be tentatively on April 8th. On public health situational awareness, the project that we're aware of that has the most overlap is the SANER project, and we are pretty confident we can get someone from Audacious Inquiry to come and explain that work. For public health data flows broadly, which is several of these domains, the name Jim Daniel at CDC was suggested that we could get sort of an overview of what's working, what's not working in public health data flows. On clinical and administrative data and standards, the task force that Arian has mentioned several times, we could get a readout from that task force chair, or perhaps someone from DaVinci or one of the other groups that's been working on this. Data sharing across federal and non-federal boundaries, the thought was we could approach either Commonwealth or Direct Trust or eHealth Exchange, some of the groups that are already sort of struggling to solve this problem, and get their perspective on what's working, what's not working. And then on the real world evidence, leveraging EHR data topic, the OHDSI and HL7 collaboration that I think George Ripsacker is heavily involved in was an example of what we might want to focus on here in terms of just getting a clearer understanding of what the issues are. Comments on these topics and/or experts? Actually, while you're thinking about it, do we want to do the public comment? I think we were right at
let's
that.
Let's go to public comment. Mike. Yeah, let's go to public comment and then come back and. We'll get the homework out via email.
Operator, can you please open up the public comment line, please?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments.
Okay, and while we're waiting, I just wanted to remind everybody our ISP Task Force next call is next Thursday, April 1st, from 2 to 3:30 Eastern Time. And also, I'll plug our ONC annual meeting. That is Monday and Tuesday next week from 12 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you haven't already registered, you could just search our website for the ONC annual meeting, and there's a registration link there, and you're free to register. All right, operator, do we have any comments?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe, David, in addition to the homework on filling out the form, which we will we'll provide ample instruction out to the group and a more consolidated way of filling out the data, if you also have additional people that, in addition to the list that David mentioned, that you think would be important to listen to or hear from, that would be fantastic. So we'll give homework for people to solicit other ideas for people to hear from. Any questions or any other comments? Cool. All right. Well, let's give people back 2 minutes. This is a pretty rapid fire meeting. I'm hoping next meeting we come back with a proposed prioritization. Spend most of the time, you know, kind of worrying about the stuff on the margin, and then get down to actually focusing on standards and needs in the priority area. I want to thank everybody for their engagement. I thought we accomplished a lot, and looking forward to next week.
Thanks all. Everybody.
Hey, Kristen, I feel good.